It is utterly amazing when you read the previous chapter how dynamic Elijah was, how he faced Ahab, and how he faced the prophets of Baal, and how he destroyed the 450 prophets of Baal with great courage, great tenacity, how he went back and threw himself back on Mount Carmel and prayed again and put his head between his knees and blocked out everything, and then prayed till he produced the rain that broke the drought, that broke the famine, that changed things for everybody. He'd done everything for everybody. He'd set everybody free. And then King Ahab goes back and tells Jezebel, a woman that I talked about extensively on Sunday, a woman who was a foreigner to them, was not really one of them, had been brought into their camp from Phoenicia, and had married this Hebrew boy, though they were both Semitic, actually, and married him, the king and the queen came together because the two countries are coming together. It was a political deal. She didn't choose him. She didn't want him. It was an arranged marriage, not just by the parents, but by the countries, because they thought it would be good politically. And here she is in this country, and I talked about it quite a bit Sunday, and here she is in this country, in this atmosphere, away from her people, away from Phoenicia, away from their customs and rituals, away from their liberal attitude. She's now thrust into this extremely conservative environment, and not only are they conservative, they are contentious. Yeah, they're conservative, but they don't get along with each other, and she hated it. She sent for the prophets in the first place so she'd have something from home, something that was true to her faith and her background and her religion. And she's trying to convert them by killing the prophets. And now Elijah has killed the prophets of Baal in a dynamic display of God's glory, calling fire down on Mount Carmel, licking up the water, licking up the wood, licking up the stones, and burning up the sacrifice. God has showed himself to be strong in the life of Elijah. Elijah prays down the rain, and it begins to rain. And again, God has shown himself to be strong. Elijah kills 450 prophets. God has showed himself to be strong in Elijah's life. Elijah then tells King Ahab to get on his chariot and slack not thy riding, lest the rain stop thee. And then he girded up his loins, his girdle in his loin belt, and started running and outran the chariot. Mighty man, Superman, amazing man, incredible man, accomplished man, admirable man in that chapter of his life. But when he heard that Jezebel had said, "May the gods do that and more to me if I don't kill you in the next 24 hours," he got afraid. Now, I would like to say that the pressure started with Jezebel's threat. And sometimes we have something that happens in our life that is a tipping point, that takes us over the edge, that drives us to a place where we just can't take it anymore, and all of a sudden we react to it. Jezebel's threat on his life, she never touched him, she never got him. She didn't get him within 24 hours. She really spoke a curse over herself. But he's running afraid. And he's not a fearful person. But now he's afraid. And I'm wondering if there's anybody watching me tonight that you're not normally a fearful person, but now you're afraid. That your emotions are out of whack in such a way that you're responding this way and that way to something that you normally would be confident about. But now you're afraid or tired or frustrated or weary. And he comes to the juniper tree. I'm going to use King James English language. He comes to the juniper tree and he said, "It is enough. It is enough." Which really means it is too much. But he's saying, "It is enough. Let me die." The man who just killed 450 prophets is now saying, "Let me die. I am no better than my ancestors. I want out of my own life." I'm wondering if there's anybody out there listening at me tonight who has ever gotten to the point of exasperation where you want it out of your own life. Maybe not suicidal. We won't use that big of a word because a lot of people can't own that word. Maybe not suicidal, but just depressed enough and discouraged enough and frustrated enough that you just want out of your own life, out of your own skin, out of your own world. You could get in the car and just drive until you ran out of gas and then get on a bus and go till you ran out of money and wherever you were, change your name and turn into somebody else because it's enough. You've had it. And you know you're a believer and you know you walk with God, but you've had it. And you know the scriptures, but you've had it. And you've seen the miracles work in your life before, but you've had it. And you've seen God use you in a mighty way, but now for some reason in this season, with all of this stuff going on top of everything else you had going on, you've been sheltered in place. Some of you have lost your jobs. You've lost loved ones. We've seen 250,000 people die. We're now seeing an upsurge in the virus. And if that were not enough, every day we're faced with political chaos like we have never seen before. No matter what your politics are, this has been stressful. 4 years of all kind of hell breaking loose. It's always bad, but this has been exceptionally contentious. Everybody fighting with everybody, and you try to avoid it, and you try to turn, and it's almost on every station. Now, it's one thing to have hell on the outside and pressure on the outside and chaos on the outside, but it's not like your own personal problems went to bed while the world was going crazy. It's not like your bills stopped coming because of COVID. No. It's not like all of your children lined up and all of your siblings lined up and all of your parents lined up because of COVID. No. You still got all the drama you always had on top of this new drama. And you're saying, look, I'm a strong person, but this is enough. What do you do when you feel like giving up and you feel like walking away? First of all, there is the shame of feeling that way. The guilt that comes from saying, I should be a type A person. I should be an alpha male. I should be this. I should be that. I'm a superwoman. I'm the woman for the job. You've always thought that about yourself. But now you don't want to tell anybody. Shh. But you want out of your own life. Get me out of my own skin. Oh, if I could just be somebody else for a little while. And pressure and anxiety has brought the great man of God down to laying up under a bush, and he has despaired of life itself. And he says, it is enough. I want to talk about breaking points because all of us have it. Not all of us know how to deal with it, but all of us have them. It is especially difficult for those of us who have been mighty at other chapters in our lives to come to a point of exasperation that the feeling is not only frustrating, it's foreign. And you wouldn't dare say it in front of anybody. Elijah didn't say it in front of anybody. That's why I wanted you to notice that he left his servant in Beersheba. Judah left them back there. Did you stay here? And went on a little further where the servant couldn't hear and said, God, I'm sick of everything and everybody. This is not the kind of prayer that you pray on Sunday morning in front of the church. This is the kind of prayer you pray when nobody's listening, where you can really keep it real and you get with God and say, I'm sick of my husband. I'm sick of my wife. I'm sick of my kids. I don't like my goldfish. My dog is stupid. I'm going to kill that cat. You just, maybe you haven't been there. I understand that feeling. I understand that feeling where you are overwhelmed and you need to just be honest with God for a minute, not religious, not spiritual, not perfect, not anything, and tell God, I am sick of this. I've had it. I'm tired. It's enough. Now, when people who are normally fighters come to this point, the shame also comes with being there because they're not used to being there. I feel like I'm talking to somebody tonight. I don't know. I feel like I'm sitting down talking directly to somebody. I don't know who it is. You're not even used to feeling the way you're feeling. It's a strange feeling. It's a foreign feeling. Not only is Elijah in a strange place, he's having a strange feeling at a strange time in his life, laying up under a tree, a bush, as it were. He can't go any further. It's not like he checked in to the Bush Hotel. This is not the Juniper Resort. No, this is just as far as he can go, and he just collapses, and everything spills up. I have been faithful for you. I have worked for you. I've done this and that for you. I did that. He went through the whole list. And then he goes down to another thing. He says, there's nobody left but me. They've killed all the prophets but me. I alone am left. Now, I want to stop right there because I want you to see something. What he just said isn't true. And he knows it's not true. Because in the previous chapter, Obadiah has reserved at least some prophets in a cave. And he is aware that those prophets exist. What do you do when what you know doesn't line up with how you feel? Intellectually, he knows that they are there. But emotionally and experientially, he feels all alone. He's left his servant just a little ways, but he knows where he is. There are other prophets that are yet alive. He knows that. He knows that. But he doesn't feel that. And sometimes how you feel about something becomes your reality. And the Bible says that he fell asleep under the juniper tree. How do you get your fight back? That's what I'm talking about tonight. Can I tell you something? You're tired. He has been doing everything for everybody. He has fought against all odds. He has confronted his biggest enemies. He has stood up against 450 prophets of Baal. He has looked Ahab square down in the face and talked smack to him. He's been ferocious. He has climbed all the way back up on Mount Carmel again and prayed 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 for rain. He has literally birthed rain. And God has answered. And if that were not enough, he has outrun. King Ahab was in a chariot. Elijah was on foot and he's outrun him. He's tired. And God who called fire down from heaven and God who sent a deluge of rain that rebuked the drought and stopped the famine does no miracles under the juniper tree other than letting him get some rest. You can't get around it. When you're burned out, when you're at the end of your rope, there is nothing wrong with rest.